Share with you a message that I've entitled, Satan Comes to Church. Satan Comes to Church. Now, unlike many ministers, I'm not going to ask you to turn around and touch your neighbor and say, Satan comes to church. But I want us to all understand that when you enter into the local assembly, it does not mean that you are not in somewhat danger that Satan will try to impact your life and impact your heart and impact your understanding. Oftentimes, we think of this danger only coming from the pulpit, and that is a danger that we must be aware of. But more often than it comes from this pulpit, it comes from within the congregation. Now, I'm bringing this message today because I'm the watchman on the wall. When I see the sword coming, my job is to blow the trumpet in Zion, to sound the alarm. Christ Unveiled Ministries has been under attack. We're always under attack, but over the past 2 or 3 months, we've been under a specific attack with people, I'll describe it this way, people with spirits of divination attempting to come into the assembly. Now, I'm not a dumb dog that cannot bark. I bark and I also bite. And to the degree that I feel it's necessary, I throw people out of here. You never even know it. I throw them out. Because my job is to protect this local flock. So today, I only see what I see. I respond to what I'm able to see and discern. But I need to educate you so that you also have a foundation to discern from, because you don't want everybody speaking into your life. Amen. So in the book of Genesis, again, the message entitled, Satan Comes to Church, chapter 3, we are looking at the opening of human history, the first pages of human history. God has just created Adam. From his rib, he has taken and he's created Eve, and they are in the garden of God. These are God's prized possessions, his prized creations that he's just put in, again, in Eden, the garden of God. And what I want you to see is that Satan is not bashful to go tromping straight into the sacred place of God to steal, kill, and destroy. And you need to understand that. So Genesis chapter 3, verse 1, it says, Now the serpent, which is the devil, which is Satan, the dragon, he was more subtle than any beast of the field which God made, which the Lord God had made. This word subtle means that he was more crafty. He was more clever. He knew how to hide himself in open sight. It goes on to say, and he said unto the woman, the serpent, now this is the devil. The serpent said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, you shall not eat of the tree of the garden. Now, Satan does not care at all that Eve is God's prized possession. She is the second created. He made her in some aspects even more special than the man. The man was kind of rugged and durable, but Eve was more delicate. And these are God's prized creations. But Satan has no problem speaking into their life. And what he says is, yea, hath God said, you shall not eat of the tree of the garden. Now, I want you to know that he almost said what God said, but he perverted it just a little bit. And this is what you have to be careful of until you have learned the word of God well enough for yourself that you don't let somebody pervert just a little twist on the scriptures. And you're not aware of it, because that's going to have an impact on your salvation. When you look nationally at the prominent ministers across the nation, almost to the preacher, they have left this book. And they are preaching humanistic psychology. They're preaching things that are not in this book at all. But they'll read a scripture just to make it sound like it's actually of God, when in fact it is not the doctrine of Christ, and it's not what the apostles taught. And so this is what Satan did. Going at the very beginning, he walked into the very sacred place, the garden of God, Eden, And he began to steal and kill and destroy. And look what he did to the human race. I would have been born perfect had he not went into the garden. You would have been born perfect had Satan not gone into the garden. Now, he did the same thing. If you read the opening verses of the book of Job, it says that the sons of God, speaking of the angelic host, they went to present themselves before the Lord. And Satan came right into the midst of them. Now, let me say this. I'm not mad at anybody, so lighten up. I'm not mad at anybody. I'm not beating anybody up. I'm not necessarily even talking about you. I want to make sure you understand that just because you've entered into the church, you're not safe. And you have to establish your own spiritual discernment to know who is God and who is not, because everybody in the church is not of God. That's just a given. And we have to be real about that. And I'm showing you today, Satan has always come into the place of God. Satan will come into your prayer closet if you let him. He'll come into your living room and cause hell amongst you and your spouse and your children. He'll bring hell in your house if you let him. He has no respect. Not for you, not for me, not for God, not for nothing. Now in the book Mark chapter 1, we see Jesus, he's in the synagogue, which is a Jewish church. Jesus himself, the Son of God. And Jesus is teaching. And the people are hearing and realizing what they're hearing. This is a move of God. It's so different than what the Pharisees were preaching to us. And just watch this. In verse 22, Mark 1 and 22, and they were astonished at his doctrine. For he, Jesus, taught them as one that had authority and not as the scribes. And there was in the synagogue, sitting right in the church, there was a man with an unclean spirit. Now get what's being said. Here the synagogue is, and again, that's the Jewish church. Jesus himself is teaching, and sitting right in the pews is a man with an unclean spirit. Now, we can't really know what it means, the unclean spirit. We don't have a lot of information on that, but we do know this. He was not of God. He was under the influence of a spirit. And watch what he says. And he cried out, saying, "Let us alone. What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Art thou come to destroy us?" Now, here's something that you can all... I've been in the church 30 years. I've seen this across multiple churches. You can have services where the Holy Spirit begins to move and the people begin to respond and the Spirit is high and you feel the Holy Spirit in the room, and you'll always have at least one person who is stone cold in the flesh who will interrupt the flow of the Spirit. And you see here, Jesus is teaching, and the teaching is so good that the crowd is saying, "My God, this man is preaching with authority." And just like that, the devil starts acting up. And everything that's acting up in the church house is not God. Everything that happens within this type of a setting has a spiritual tune to it. And that spiritual tune, if something happens and it's out of spiritual tune, you can know that's not right. For example, if the worship team are up here, the musicians, and they're playing wonderfully and beautifully, and I grab another guitar and come out here and play with them, you're going to notice something's wrong, brother. That's not right. And it's the same way with people operating spiritually. You can tell when they're out of tune. And you need to be aware of that. You need to first discern it, but then you need to be aware of that. He goes on to say, "I know who thou art, the Holy One of God." Now understand this. Probably everyone in that synagogue did not yet understand that Jesus was the Son of God. This unclean spirit person understood some things that the regular people did not understand. And many times you have these people with these divination spirits, they have a modicum of understanding in some area, and they look for those who have less understanding, whom they can impress, And once they launch themselves to the proper position, they begin to pull that person off course as far as proper growth in Christianity. And we have been under attack. This several weeks ago, it may have been over a month ago, I had just finished the message, and I walked out into the lobby, and all the brothers said, "Hey, this brother's been sitting over here waiting for you. He needs to talk to you." And I looked over, and I'd never seen this guy before in my life. And so I walked up to him and said, "Hey, what's going on? What you got?" He said, "Pastor, I was driving by this church, and the Holy Ghost just gripped me. And I could not sleep that night. And God has given me a word for you." I said, "Really? Well, what is it?" He pulls his briefcase, he opens his briefcase, and he pulls out five books, and he says, "I've written all of these books. I'm Dr. So somebody. And these are the books that I've written." And by this time, I'd already discerned this brother. I said, "Okay, that's wonderful. I got five books hanging on the wall back there. What did God say?" See, because first when these people begin to operate, they try to establish credibility, spiritual credibility, of which they really have none. I said, so what did God say? He said, "Well, this is my latest book." And I got tired. I said, "Brother, did God say something or not? What did God say?" And he began to relate to me, "Yes, God has said that your ministry, you're a great man of God," is what he said first. "Your ministry will go around the world, and God is going to use you mightily." And it just so happened to be the week that Pastor Taylor had the map of the world where our webcast is at. And I said, "Brother, you see that map? I'm already around the world. You're not telling me anything I don't know." I don't know about the great man of God, but many times what they'll try to do is butter you up. So they have an easy entry. And you can always tell because they don't come in like a normal person. They come in saying, "Who's the pastor and who's the first lady?" Because they're looking for that slot. They're looking for that position that they can have the greatest influence over the flock. And finally, I told him, "Brother, I appreciate you dropping the word. I got to go. I got to go greet my people." And have not seen him since. And so this has happened more and more often that these soothsayer type Christians try to push into the congregation. We had one several months ago would come in, but I knew this person for 20 years. I knew they was a devil. And they knew that I knew they was a devil. And I've seen this person tear up churches before. And so they would come and only sit in the lobby to see, to test the water. And I was pretty firm with them. And they felt it was better for them to move off somewhere else, which I agree. But this ministry has been under attack. And I want you to know that when you see people you've never seen anymore and they're trying to speak into your life, you have a pastor and you have a first lady. If someone's confusing you, you come to your pastor and we'll help you understand what's going on there. We have an assistant pastor and a second lady. They are godly people that have discernment that can help you understand if someone tries to speak into your life and tell you something that just does not sit right, bring that to your pastor so that I can help you discern through what is going on there. Because there can be an unclean spirit sitting in any church at any time. It can happen. Amen. "I know thee who thou art, the Holy One of God." And Jesus rebuked him. And notice the first thing he said is, "Stop talking. Hold your peace." What that is saying that you don't let these soothsayer Christians speak into your life. Now, with that being said, there is a real gift of prophecy. There is a real gift of the word of wisdom, the word of knowledge. Those are real gifts. But when they operate, they don't operate ambiguously. You know, to give a prophecy that's a few years too late, you're going to go around the world. Well, everybody wants to hear that. But if it doesn't come to pass, it's not real. And if somebody speaks into your life and it does not come to pass, you mark that person. Don't give them another shot at it. Because people come in with religious spirits. Understand something. Satan is the single most religious being on this planet. Get that straight. Right now, he has 1.8 billion people locked up in the religion called Islam. He has another 1.2 billion locked up in the religion called Catholicism. He has roughly another billion or so locked up in other religions. So he is an expert at using religion to capture people and begin to move them away from the doctrines of Christ. Are you with me this morning? And the first thing Jesus said is, stop talking. We don't need you talking into our lives. Now, this man was sitting right in the church house, right in the middle of the church house, the whole time. Jesus was the one teaching, and Satan had no qualms about making his presence known and showing out in the midst. And so be wary. I'm running shotgun. I'm looking out for you. But if something gets past me, Satan wants to come in and he wants to grow tares right amongst the wheat of God's people. So you be very careful who you're listening to. And again, if there's any confusion in your mind about something that you're hearing, come talk to your pastor. Peter told us this, 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 1, he said, but there were false prophets also amongst the people, even as there shall be false prophets amongst you. Now understand something. He did not necessarily say false prophets standing in the position of the minister. He just said false prophets. And he went on to say, as there were false prophets also amongst the people, even as there shall be, not might be, there shall be false prophets amongst you. And it's you and my, it's our responsibility to have the discernment to know this person is out in left field. Here's some more Charles Lincoln discernment for you. If it says prophet on their business card, they're not. If they come in boasting that they're apostles, somebody, no, they're not. And many times they can say, well, I got a word for you. I don't want it because I don't believe that you are who you say that you are. And somebody said, well, that's not love, brother. Your soul is hanging in the balance. You need to make sure that you shoo the devil. That's like letting a fly around your head and sit on your nose and you don't shoo him away. Nobody wants a fly just sitting on their nose. Common sense would say, get out. You got to shoo the devil away sometimes. Here's another instance. Oh, let me continue. But there were false prophets also amongst the people, even as there shall be false teachers amongst you who privily, that means using methods of stealth, that means they slip in privately, stealthily amongst the congregation, and they bring in damnable heresies. That's pretty strong phrase. Damnable heresies. It means they have false teachings or beliefs that are severely destructive. And they begin to try to implant these things in your life. And the scripture has told us just a little leaven will leaven the whole lump. One thing we do in this church, I don't let nobody stand on this platform unless they got a word. Even in our laity program where we're raising preachers up, we make sure that the one thing is they never get past 5 minutes if they don't bring, they got to be the word. It cannot be what Brother Jakes is preaching. It cannot be what Elevation Church is doing. It cannot just be, this is what I think. It has to be studied doctrine with theological precision. Otherwise, you can't preach it here. Amen. Someone said, well, why are you so hard about it? Because I'm the watchman on the wall. It's my job. And it's my job today to bring you the fact that a church like this with the word is constantly under attack, and you need to be watchful. You need to be prayerful about this. In the book of Acts, chapter 16, the backdrop on this is Paul was in a certain city, and there were women that would go to the river, and that's where they would pray. And Paul found this out, and he would go to the river where the women were praying, and he would teach Jesus there. He would teach them Jesus, and they were receptive of it. And we find in chapter 16 and verse 16, it says, "It came to pass as we went to prayer, they were on their way to a prayer meeting by the river. A certain damsel," here it is, "possessed with the spirit of divination." Now here's what that is, divination. It's foretelling and revealing. It's foretelling supposed a futuristic events. It's foretelling and it's, And revealing something that's going on in your life. A person like this is no different than a tarot card reader or somebody who reads your palm. That's really what divination is. It's somebody who gets a Ouija board and figures out what great Auntie Lulu May said to you. It's a dark art. The scripture is full of this, that we are to stay away from it. It's people that peep and mutter. They peep into things in the future through unrealistic and ill-awful means. It's not that God gave them something. They're dealing with familiar spirits. And many times these people don't even know what's going on, because once you deceive yourself, you're deceived. You're going to deceive anybody and everybody around you. She had a spirit of divination. She met us, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying. And soothsaying is predicting future events, not by the Holy Spirit, by familiar spirits. The same followed Paul and us and cried, saying, "These men are the servants of the Most High God." That seems acceptable, doesn't it? That seems like a good thing to say about the Apostle Paul. "Which show us the way into salvation." Well, that seems like a good thing. Ah, but discernment. Discernment. "And this did she many days. But Paul was grieved, turned and said to the Spirit." He didn't speak to the woman. He spoke to the Spirit in the woman. "I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her." And he came out that same hour. Now, my point here is that Satan will walk right into a prayer meeting. And when he comes in, he doesn't wear a red suit with a tail and horns and pitchfork in his hand. He uses a surrogate. When Satan caused Adam to fall, he did not present himself as a devil or even as a serpent. He presented himself as Adam's bone of his bones and flesh of his flesh. Eve was at that time a surrogate for Satan. Think about that. Only two people on the planet. And Satan was able to manipulate and cause one of them to be an agent for himself. Satan is so deceptive. He's able to cause one third of the angelic host to turn their backs on God. And so you and I must exercise discernment. For many days, she said all the right things. And when you find oftentimes these that have these, I don't know what you call it, soothsaying Christianity, voodoo Christianity. They know how to say all the right words. But the words are not all that it is what is the intent of the heart? You know, it's just like a pimp trying to seduce a young girl that doesn't have enough experience in life. He knows how to say all the right things, but the intent of his heart is not right with God. Now, I bring this up today. I want to just share one more scripture very quickly in the book of Revelation. This is why I'm unloading myself this morning. I know this is a different message than what you might normally hear, but I'm unloading myself this morning because I need to make sure that I know that you know. Revelation chapter 2, verse 18, it says, "Unto the angel of the church of Thyatira write." Now, this word angel does not mean an angelic being. The word is angelo in the Greek. and it means a messenger. Virtually all commentators will agree that this word angel speaks of the pastor. Each of the churches, seven churches, got a letter. That letter was not to the congregation. It was to the pastor of that church. Get that? And here's what Jesus wrote to this pastor. He said, "These things saith the Son of God, who hath eyes like unto a flame of fire, and his feet is like fine brass. I know thy works, and thy charity, and thy service, and thy faith, and thy patience, and thy works, and the last to be more than the first. Notwithstanding, I have a few things against thee." Now get this. He didn't write this letter to the church body. He wrote it to the pastor. And so what he's saying is, "Pastor, you're doing a good job, but I got somewhat against you, because you have suffered that woman Jezebel, which calls herself a prophetess, to teach and seduce my servants." Now, there was probably in that church, there was a local church that in Thyatira, and no doubt there was a personality there, a female personality, perhaps not called Jezebel, but likened unto Jezebel of old, and she was busy, under the view of this pastor, teaching and seducing God's people to commit some type of fornication, which may have been spiritual idolatry. It may not have been sexual, or maybe it was. I don't know. But God said to this pastor, "I have somewhat against you because you're allowing this." And so it's important for me to know that you know that everything that comes into this church, if they're not on this platform, I don't vouch for them. Just because someone sits in the pews, I don't necessarily vouch for them. You have to have discernment as to whether that person is of God or not. And if you have questions, come to your pastor. Come to your first lady, your assistant pastor, second lady, and ask, "Hey, I'm confused about this. This is what so-and-so said." And we will explain what's going on, and if need be, we'll take whatever action needs to be taken. I've been doing this 28 years. I have thrown so many people out of church. I bark and I bite. Yeah, we call the squad car. We do a criminal trespass on them. Don't ever come back on the property. I bark and I bite. Because my job is to protect the flock, and I don't really care what people think about me. Amen. I'm going to be faithful to the call of God. But he said, "You have suffered that woman, Jezebel, which calls herself a prophetess." She wasn't a prophetess. She just called herself a prophetess. I remember one time I was watching something on TV. It was a religious programming, and they had three women at the table. One was in a big chair in the middle and two other chairs on the side. And the women on the side were prophetesses. And the woman in the middle was an executive prophetess. And I thought, man, what kind of foolishness is this? You can be sure no prophet was at that table. But it's easy for people to deceive themselves, and it's easy for people to be operating under the influence of an unclean spirit, a spirit of divination, and not even realize it. They may be sincere, but they may be sincerely wrong. Here's the acid test. Is it this book? Is it properly this book? If you're not old enough or familiar enough with this Bible to know, that's my job. Come ask me about it. I can help you. But if it does not line up with this book, line upon line, precept upon precept, don't eat it. Shoo that fly away from your nose. Now, Jezebel, the lady, the original Jezebel, she was the daughter of Ethbaal. Ethbaal was the king of the Zidonians. Ethbaal, the last four the characters of his name is Baal, because he was a Baal worshiper. Jezebel's name ends with Baal because she's a Baal worshiper. But she came in and she married Ahab, and she brought Baal worship into Israel. She put that leaven into Israel, who worships Jehovah only. And over a period of time, all the prophets of Jehovah were murdered, were killed by Jezebel, with 7,000 of them hiding in a cave for their lives. And she turned the worship of Jehovah into Baal worship, but they still called Baal by the name Jehovah, even though it was Baal worship. And that's what the Holy Spirit in Revelation is saying to this pastor of Thyatira. You've suffered that woman Jezebel to be in your midst, and you've not countered that person. And you've allowed this to happen. He said, I have somewhat against you. And so I come to you today to let you know this church has been, it's always under attack, but it's been escalated a little bit in the last 2 or 3 months. So you be on your toes. If someone walks up to you, yay, yay, I say unto thee, my child. First of all, you know right off the bat, that's not God. That's somebody mimicking what they think the Old Testament is. They're not prophesying, they're prophelying. And if any confusion, you come to your pastor, and we'll help you understand through that thing what is going on. Is that all right? Amen. Amen. I feel clean. I feel clean. Would you bow your heads, please, all over the room? Father, we just thank you for the engrafted word that is able to save the soul. Father, I've done my best to blow the trumpet this morning, to sound the alarm. God, give your people discernment. Give your people, Lord, the discernment that they need to understand if someone is attempting to speak in their life. Are they speaking the Bible or are they speaking by a familiar spirit? Father, we look to you. We're your children. We're your babies. And Lord, Satan is an angel. And we need spiritual discernment, spiritual understanding, and holy boldness that we might stand and withstand against all the wiles and the deceits of the enemy. Come on all over the room this morning. Why don't you just stand to your feet if you're able? If you're able this morning. Listen, I pray for discernment all the time. Just reach out up to heaven and just ask God, Lord, give me a discerning heart. Help me, Lord Jesus, not to just believe everything I hear. Help me, Lord, not to just allow anyone to speak into my life. But give me discernment that I can tell what is good and what is evil and what is right and what is wrong. Come on, just reach out to the Lord right now for your own soul. Just reach out.
Heavenly Father, we know that false teaching will come. But we just want to know, Father God, when they come, is it of you or is it of them? So, Father God, we pray for discernment so that we will know when people come up to us. Help us to get in our word, Father God, so that we can pray and ask and seek. And the word says that if someone lacks wisdom, for them to ask and you will give it to them. Thank you for that, God. We just pray that you help us with this. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. Well, thank you for coming out and joining us this morning, those in-house and those online. And for our visitors visiting with us this morning, we're glad that you chose Christ Unveiled to come and visit. I have just a few announcements and then I will dismiss us. As Pastor Lincoln mentioned, this coming Wednesday, we will be in the book of Revelation, starting this Wednesday at 7 o'clock. It is a very good study. We have been through it before. Right before the pandemic, we ended it, and it was an eye-opener. So please, if you can, come out. Also, if you haven't had a chance to give, please help us in getting this ministry all over the world. And next Sunday, we will have communion for both the first service and the second service. If you want to participate in that, please come out. And with that, you are dismissed.